Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to pick up on our series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, part four. And this probably will be our final part because we want to talk about the examples of found in scriptures of how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also talk about the ministry of it, where you can receive yourself. So it's good to see some examples in scriptures, and therefore that'll help people's faith as well. But of course, before we do all that, I want to introduce my beautiful, wonderful sweetheart, Miss Norca Karina.
Hello, everyone. We thank God for this opportunity, as I always mention, because it is such an honor to be able to share the Word of God. And I am sure that those of you who have been listening to part one, two, and three have been enriched. And we encourage the listeners, of course, not only to listen to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but also to go further back and listen to the different topics. We know that you are going to be very, very blessed. This is revelation. This is not just entertainment or information. This is revelation that will certainly transform your life. And it is very good to learn about the power of God and the fact that we have access to this power. And as a matter of fact, God is expecting us to actually take possession of what he already paid for. So let's listen and let's continue learning.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. That was a great introduction. We mentioned in a previous podcast the example of how the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. This was the first example. We see that in chapter 2, where it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so we know this scripture very well, and this is what we call the beginning of Pentecost power, you know, because Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit. He operated in the power of God, and it says it was that he was given the Spirit without measure. Yet, but the measure that we receive is in part because we don't receive all of the gifts, because we talked about the gifts of the Spirit in the previous series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of how the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit with all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, one is the word of knowledge, the gift of faith and healings and miracles and all these different gifts. So as the Holy Spirit wills, he imparts us those gifts. Now he may give, you know, a person more than one, but generally what we're talking about here is one person doesn't generally have all the gifts. They're distributed throughout the body as God wills. And so this is what I mean by we're given these things in a measure and in part, although Jesus had the full measure of the power of God, because, you know, he probably was the only one that could handle that.
That's true.
Anyway, that's my opinion on that matter, but it's moving on. And I said in the last podcast I was going to give examples other than Acts chapter 2. So what we actually do have in the book of Acts, we have five examples of the Holy Spirit being given, and Acts chapter 2 is the first one. And so there's four others. And just for reference sake, for those who are listening, would be Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. So one way to remember that is 2, then 8, 9, and 10, and then 19. So we'll go to those chapters here briefly because I want to save enough time at the end of the broadcast to talk about the ministry of receiving the gift. So without further ado, we'll move on into that. So let's look at the other example. I'm not going to go in sequence here. I want to jump to Acts chapter 10 because it's a similar example that we had in Acts chapter 2. And the reason why I say that is the way that the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been given in the book of Acts, as we see it, was done in two different ways. One was a sovereign act of God where the Holy Spirit just manifested while the people were hearing the word preached or waiting upon the Lord. And the other is through the laying on of hands. And so Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10 matched that in terms of the sovereignty of God's manifestation. And those two are similar in that vein. And the other three examples are through the laying on of hands. And we'll get to those as well. And then we'll talk about why there were two different type of manifestations of how the Holy Spirit did this. And that's important to understand as well. So Acts chapter 10, let me get there myself. Those who know the story of Peter being on the rooftop and falling in a trance, you know, sleep and then in a trance and seeing a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven and, you know, the four-footed creatures of all unclean animals. And then, you know, God speaking to him to eat. You know, he said, voice came to me, and this is in Acts chapter 10, verse 13. And the voice came to me saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done three times, and the object was taken up to heaven. Now, of course, he didn't understand what this vision meant. But then Cornelius, a Roman who was a devout follower of God, he had a vision. An angel appeared to him and told him to go call for Peter. You know, gave him actually a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. You know, spoke to him. You know, he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit as yet. But when an angel appears, you know, he received what was the equivalent of the gift of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but it wasn't operating through him as the angel who appeared to him and spoke these things to him. And the angel told him to go call for Peter, and Peter ended up coming and beginning to preach to him. And you will see here how it says down here in verse number 21, you know, he says, "And Peter went down to the men who were sent to him from Cornelius's, and said, 'Yes, I'm he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And he said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man who one fears God, has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel, as I just said, to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Now notice interestingly here, sweetheart, we'll get to this in a minute. The angel didn't preach the gospel to Cornelius. That's in true. Terms of saying, you know, that Jesus was the way and all that. Mm-hmm. He said, "Go get Peter. Send for him and he'll speak the word to you." And oftentimes that's how angels operate, you know. They're not generally sent to preach the gospel. You know, some say, well, angels can do that. Well, I'm sure angels can do whatever God sends them to do, but God is generally mandated men, women, to preach the gospel, not angels.
That's
right. So he follows what the instruction here, and Peter goes to Cornelius' household, and it says here in verse 24, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. He had called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together." I thought this interesting too, that Cornelius called for his relatives and his close friends.
I like that.
It wasn't just that. He said, "I want you all to hear this message as well."
That's right.
I think that's very beautiful.
He valued what he knew was coming. And so many times, that's a good example, because many times we gather with family and friends for different reasons. You know, it's really good to gather for a good meal, and that's good. But it's even better when we understand the value of God, the value of the Word of God, and we actually cherish those opportunities and invite others, because we know this is the best thing that we can possibly share with someone else.
Amen, sweetheart. That is so true. So very, very true. and you know the love that he had for the people as well, for right. for him wanting them to hear the truth as well.
That's beautiful.
You know, and the boldness to do so. You know, wasn't mm-hmm. ashamed of what he was going to hear, because he knew this was truly going to be the word of God coming to him.
It's important also to see that it's obvious that he had not only the love, but also he had a level of influence, I guess, leadership with his family. And isn't it good to see that, you know, the level of influence that we have to actually make it useful, right? To use it the right way. Sometimes, unfortunately, we use our level of influence, authority, position, and it really doesn't enrich people, but it actually sometimes harms people, you know, bad attitudes. But this is a beautiful example. This level of influence that he had, position, authority, it's combined or actually rooted with love. And what happens? He uses it to actually change the people's lives around him, the people that he loves, in a positive way. And this is a good example for us to imitate and follow.
Exactly, sweetheart. That is beautiful. And, you know, these are very important revelations we're both receiving here, because right. even the stuff that what you just shared about influence is, wow, this hit me. I never looked at it like that before with Cornelius and his household, that that influence is what impacted their lives, or what's about to impact, as we're right. about to read here. And I'm not going to read this whole thing because I want to get to these other examples. But we see here that when he came, you know, Peter says here in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, for in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I love this verse. You know, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And this is part of the gospel message right here, what we're hearing.
That's right.
You know, he didn't just talk about, you know, the death on the cross, which we're going to see in the next verse. It says here, and we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly to not all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of his sins. This is powerful. He talks about the mission that Jesus had to come and set people free, but he also talked about the mission that Jesus had to go to the cross and die for people's sins.
That's right.
So see, this is something I want to reiterate here quickly, is because I've mentioned this in many podcasts in our past several series, that Jesus didn't come just to save people from sin, which is the most important thing, obviously, is so that we can be born again and go to heaven. But he also came to set people free from the devil's oppression, to alleviate humanity from oppression of the devil and the pain and the suffering that he's been causing them.
That's a good point.
And so Peter mentions this, you know, pretty succinctly here in these few verses. And it says here, when he was saying that, it says verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who, let me turn the page here, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Hmm. How do they know that? The next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them not them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay on a few days. Now, see, this is interesting, right? Because he sees that through the vision that he had sitting on the rooftop of the house, you know, that God was showing him that the gospel was being opened up to the nations, not just to the Jewish people. Some say, well, they should have known that. Well, I mean, Jesus did say that, but at the same time, Jesus had said to them previously when he had sent them out two by two, you know, do not go anywhere except, you know, to the cities in Israel, right? He sent them out. So in some way they may have thought, you know, I'm giving my opinion here on some of this, they may have thought that the gospel was just to the Jews, right? And so when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, you know, it may not have completely hit them yet, the full revelation of this. You know, because ask yourself this question, why would God need to bring a vision to Peter to show him that the gospel is for all people, not just, you know, the circumcision? Because he said, you know, he used the analogy of the animals in the sheet, you know, then said, you know, arise, kill, and eat. And he said, but I've never eaten anything unclean, you know. They considered Gentiles to be unclean because they were not part of the covenant, right? They didn't follow the Mosaic laws, you know, even the dietary laws and those such things. You know, they did not believe, so they were considered unclean, and they did not associate with them, right? So here he's saying to Cornelius when he is asked to come because of the vision and the vision that Cornelius had of the angel saying, go send for Peter. He said that God, he said, I see now that God is no respecter of persons, right? He's seeing that the gospel is being opened up to all people. So this is another, what you might say, evidence is also that why the importance of visions are still for today. Because it seems apparent that this vision was necessary to completely get their attention of understanding of the gospel being opened up to the Gentiles.
That's right.
Right, so we can use other examples throughout the scriptures as well that indicate that. So when it says in the Bible that, you know, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit and upon all flesh, you know, your young men shall see visions and old men dream dreams. And he said he'd pour out the spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. You know, so these things, visions and dreams and prophecies are still with us today, or are supposed to be still with us today. And the reason is because it helps promote the gospel. It helps alleviate people from suffering, as well as it helps people see the truth. And I'm going to keep repeating this statement that I've made in the last several podcasts, is that what Jesus said about Capernaum and about Sodom. Mm-hmm. He said if the works had been done in Sodom that were done in Capernaum, he said they would have still remained to this day. They would not have been destroyed. And the reason they wouldn't have been destroyed is because the signs and the wonders and miracles, the deliverances and healings, all those things that would have been taking place would have made believers out of them. And the city would have repented and they would still be here today. So for somebody to tell me or any of us that, well, we don't need these things, are not necessary for today, well, obviously that's in the contradiction of what Jesus said. And what the scripture says, when Paul says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And he says, forbid not to speak with tongues. And he says, despise not prophecy. You know, those things that are instructions in the scriptures. So anyway, getting back to here and where I'm wanting to go with this, is that we see they received the Holy Spirit while Peter was preaching.
That's right.
While he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And you know, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word.
Hmm.
So he didn't lay hands on any of them.
Imagine his surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like quite, wow, look what God is doing. He says, those who were with him, were, you know, that believed, were astonished. I would say that's an understatement. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then, you know, of course, Peter went on to say, okay, it's for them as well, so they should be baptized, right? So now they have the revelation.
That's so good.
The gospel, the salvation message, Jesus belongs to everybody, not just to the Jews.
That's right.
Right? And we know when we read the next chapter, and I don't think I want to get into that too much here, but when Peter goes back to, when Peter came back to Jerusalem, they began questioning about what? What just happened there? What did you do? Well, you were with these Gentiles? And he said, basically over here, he said, he heard the voice, you know, about the vision where it says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so. And what? And then he hears a voice from heaven saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call uncommon. And he mentions him, you know, he mentions the details of that vision. And he says, the Spirit told me to go with them when they came to from Cornelius' household, you know, that vision of the angel he had. And he said, he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and said, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, for he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. I mean, imagine hearing that.
Imagine.
Wow. You know, and it says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, as upon us at the beginning. See, here's again proof. The Holy Spirit fell upon them on the day of Pentecost while they were not necessarily knowing what God was going to do, right? And it says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus added to that by saying, not many days from now, and that was back when he, on his last day before he ascended to heaven.
Right.
And he says here in verse 17, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.
Praise God.
Right. So this is powerful, and it's a testimony of the power of the supernatural power of God through visions and revelations. How important these are. People today, you know, sometimes Christians think, you know, this is something to laugh at or mock. Well, we don't believe in that, you bunch of Pentecostal, crazy Pentecostals believe in all this stuff, you know. And of course, there are things that, you know, it might be something to question, because the Bible does say test the spirits and see that whether they're from God. And, you know, Paul even says, you know, to test all things and hold fast that which is good, you know. And meaning there can be false visions, there can be false revelations, there can be false signs and wonders, things that, you know, that didn't come from God at all. Could come out of someone's imagination, or it could have been a work of the devil. But we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, you don't get rid of food just because somebody got a food poisoning when they ate one time.
That's right.
Right? We don't throw out the whole thing. So we shouldn't do that here. So likewise, we see in this case, as was on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they received it in the same way they did in Acts chapter 2. They began speaking with tongues and prophesying before God, right? That was the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And why am I saying that? Because just to be born again, you didn't have that supernatural power. Now, somebody says, well, see, these people didn't get saved like you said before in John chapter 20, that the Holy Spirit was breathed upon them, they received the Holy Spirit, and then they had to wait for the power. They received it all in one installment. So basically, they received the first part of the born-again experience as well as the baptism of the power all in one shot. Awesome. A two-part installation in one step, one process. That's awesome. And it can happen the same way today.
Definitely.
You know, but here's the thing is, you know, somebody says, well, you know, we don't believe in that being for today. Well, then there's a good chance you're probably not going to receive. Cornelius was open to receive what the word of God was, right?
That's right.
So
I was going to add
to that. Go ahead
and
add something, sweetheart.
That we sometimes mention and talk about Peter, and sometimes, unfortunately, it's in a negative light. I think one of the things that Peter is known most is for denying Jesus three times. But honestly, kudos to Peter on this, because he received this revelation and he was obedient. He was sensitive to the word. He was obedient. And even though he knew probably inside, not only himself, but that he was going to receive opposition, this is not what he was accustomed to do. But God chose him to make history, to go from the before and the after, and to actually open and make a way, something that is new. And praise God, God needs not only servants, but obedient servants, and not only obedient servants, but also with boldness that are willing to overcome the desire to hide, you know, in our own feelings and comfort levels. When God speaks to your heart and you know that God is asking you to do something, even when it defies your own common sense in terms of, no, that person doesn't deserve the word of God, or that person, there's no way that person is going to turn around from his or her dark ways. There's no way. If God is prompting you, he's tugging at your spirit and asking you to do something, if it's the Lord, and you know, it's really important to obey, because God is looking for obedient servants that are useful in his hands, through which the power of God can be manifest and change the lives of people. Look how many people's lives were not only temporarily changed, eternally changed, because Peter was obedient and heard what God wanted him to do, and actually pushed through his own personal opinion and did what God wanted him to do.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Yeah, because you're right. There's, you know, oftentimes when we think of Peter, or many of us have, think about, you know, his failures.
Right.
But yet there are so many successes, you know, that's that right. He accomplished. And after when he denied Jesus and got restored, you know, it's interesting how the Lord Jesus himself encouraged him, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to overcome his failures.
That's
and
right.
said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and strengthen your brethren. And so those, I think, were motivations for him. You know what? You failed, but you can still be useful for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And you can make up for the difference, and much more so, because I really love, you know, the things that God used Peter to do, and even his writings, 1 and 2 Peter. You know, one of the passages in 2 Peter is one of my favorite passages in the entire whole Bible, where he talks about the divine nature, you know, mm-hmm. that we have been given these precious promises, whereby, you know, through these precious promises, we may escape the corruptions in the world through lust.
That's true.
This is a powerful passage, you know, and this is coming from a seasoned veteran, a seasoned apostle who's went through
That's
it
true.
All and matured to the level of a high level with the Lord. And I have so much honor and respect for that. So anyway, well, it looks like we're running out of time here, and I not even closely got to where I wanted to go with this, but hey, we trust God's leading on this, and it's obvious that there's not going to be the final part on the baptism of the Holy Spirit today on part 4, so there's going to be another part, at least another part, maybe more, part 5, because I need to talk about those other examples of through the laying on of hands, and it may be just like this one here, is we get into more depth on each one of those than what we initially may have thought or planned. And that's
right.
the beauty of this whole thing, sweetheart,
is
that we pray ahead of time, as we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do each podcast, we join hands and we pray and ask the Holy Spirit, ask God through his Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to lead us and guide us to speak the words he would have us to speak. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We often find ourselves talking about things that we haven't even some things
That's
we didn't
true.
Even think about talking
That's
about,
so
and they come up, and they really are a blessing,
mm-hmm.
Blessings to us as well as they are to the listeners. So
yes,
I'm going to end that here, and we'll pick up in part 5 on the next one,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's going to be exciting. So without
forward.
Further ado, my sweetheart, go ahead and take over here.
What a delicious banquet has been served before us, and I certainly hope that the listeners are enjoying this delicacy. This is a really, really good meal, and The beauty of these podcasts is that, as you mentioned several times, you can just listen to it again and again. And I'm sure that every time that we listen to it, the Lord just brings a new insight, a new revelation. And it's good. God's word is amazing. God's word is delicious. So we are truly, truly nourished with the word of God. And of course, we want to extend the invitation. We want to extend. Let me first of all mention it, as you commented before about Peter. You know, there were a couple of things that we remember him by because of some failures. And maybe some of the listeners find themselves in that same position. But we want you to know that God is the God that forgives, and God is the God that restores. And there's a difference between when the Holy Spirit is telling us, teaching us, he is reminding us, he is helping us overcome crooked paths, and when the enemy is just bringing condemnation. So the Holy Spirit is always building us up, making us into the image of Jesus Christ. The enemy, he will remind you of things that you've done, that I've done. We've all failed in many different ways. And his purpose is to actually destroy you. So please make sure that you differentiate between those two voices. The Holy Spirit, God loves you, and he is always in the business of restoring, helping, encouraging, building up, because he is life. So if you are one of those, like I am, like many people I know around me that have failed in many different ways, we have very good news for you. And it's that God is a God of second, third, fourth chances. When we come to him with a repentant heart, a humble heart, he will not turn you away. So please make sure you always come back to the Lord. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord, this is the most important decision of your life. This is not only something for you to lightly consider, but this is an invitation that the Lord makes. And he died on the cross so that you can have eternal life. And what does that mean? That we are born with sin that we cannot get rid of by ourselves. We need a Savior. And who is that Savior? The only one, Jesus. Because God so loved you that he sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay for your sin, so that when you accept that gift that he offers you, you can then have eternal life. So make sure you make your decision and choose life, eternal life. And that's only done accepting Jesus as your Savior.
Amen, sweetheart. Way to put a cap on this podcast. And yes, it is the most important decision you'll ever make. So we're going to conclude that here, and we'll pick up in the next podcast next time. And we want to say good night to everybody, or good morning, wherever you're at. And God bless you.
See you then.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.